Wayne and Laura, as you know, have been with us for quite a few years now, and they have been they're the matriarch and the patriarch, amen. Part of a couple actually that we have here. They're real pillars of this church. They've been so faithful. And I say, Lord, send more Wayne and Laura's. I'm always praying that way. And there's others of you that get into that prayer too. Lord, send more of a send more Gordons, you know, and but send, you know, people like them, because what I see here are people that are not just talking it, but they're walking it. And I can tell that they have sat under some good ministry, some good teachers, and they've been mentored. And, you know, now you're doing the same thing. You're mentoring us. You're blessing us with what you have. And by the way, if you really want to learn the Word of God, come here at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Come to Sunday school, because we're going through the Bible book by book, verse by verse. If you want to learn the Word, come to Sunday school. Amen. Listen to that voice that says, get up and go to Sunday school. Don't listen to that other voice. Amen. He's a thief. He's a great teacher. But I wanted him today to introduce our guests today, because they've known each other for a number of years, and I'm going to let you finish the rest.
Thank you, Pastor. As many of you know, I lived in Ketchikan for quite a few years. And I was been involved in every pastor from 1962 practically up to the present. And we've had some good pastors. And I remember one that was voted into office by a majority. In fact, almost it might have been 100%. And I really believe he was the person that was supposed to be in Ketchikan. But he turned it down because his wife didn't want to move to Alaska. So God had a man. That man was Jimmy Burnett. And he came up there. He knew that he was only going to be there a short period of time. And when he came, he was a man of God that accomplished great things. I'll call him a church builder. Church builder. Because he knew how to build the kingdom. And under his ministry, our church grew by leaps and bounds. New ones that would come in, they would get saved. He would teach them, take them through a class. And they grew, and it wasn't long they were paying tithes. It wasn't long they were baptized in water. It wasn't long before they were filled in the Holy Spirit, and they put in for church membership, and the church really grew under them. Probably one of the most effective ministries in that direction that I've ever seen. And I'm pleased to have sat under him. He has blessed me and my family. My boy Jeff used to run around with his boys and get in the mischief together. And anyway, I love Jimmy Burnett and Nadine. Thank you for coming this morning. I bless you. And pay attention to this. This is the man of God. And he has a message, I believe, for the hour today. Bless you.
Good morning. It is a delight to be here with you. I met your pastor under some less than ideal circumstances. I was in the hospital and he came to see me. And ended up inviting me to come and minister today. Thank you, Pastor Keith. I've looked forward to it. We have prayed much about it. Let me tell you a little bit about our ministry, my wife and I. First of all, we've been married for 56 years. And I know it's been said before, but she does deserve a medal. She didn't want to go to Alaska either. When we were praying about where our next ministry, where we were going, she said, I'll go anywhere in the world with you, but I'm not going to Alaska. She learned not to say that. we have 11 grandchildren. 8 great-grandchildren. My great-grandchildren are my blessing for not killing my own. My boys were good boys till we went to Alaska, and Jeff messed them all up. Yeah. At least that's the way I tell the story. My wife and I pastored for a little over 40 years. During that time, I volunteered for every mission field in the world. Every time I had a missionary come, and we usually had a missionary about once a month, I would bawl, I would squall, and I'd say, God, I'll go. And God never allowed me to go to the mission field on any kind of permanent basis. So I learned how to get around this. I started taking building teams, and God blessed that. And so we took building teams literally all over the world. And some 10 years ago, we started winding down our full-time pastorate ministry and became more involved in missionary evangelism. And God started opening those doors, and it has been absolutely amazing. We have taken teams around the world. We just got back from, in October, we got back from 4-month assignment in Swaziland. We're getting ready to go again on the 18th to Togo, West Africa. When we return from Togo, we will rest up, and then in December we will be taking a team into Cuba. And then we've got an invitation to take a team up the Amazon and to Brazil. My wife's idea of roughing it is when room service is late in Holiday Inn. I don't know about this up the Amazon thing with her. She usually goes everywhere with me, but I don't know if I'll talk her into that one or not. But that's what our ministry is. That's what we're involved in, and we thoroughly enjoy this ministry, almost primarily, 100% just about, into third world countries. And our brother prayed when he took the offering, something that struck a note in my heart. Said, we take advantage, we take for granted, he said, the fact that we get to eat. Folks, I've been in some countries where that's not the case. I've been among the gypsy people where sometimes the only thing they have is an ear of corn that they've stolen out of some farmer's field. And they'll bring it home, and they'll have one ear of corn, and they'll parch that over a little fire and feed their family. And that's their meal of the day. So when he was praying, God, we take it for granted. God has blessed America. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the blessing of America. God has blessed America. But it's not so all over. And that's one of the reasons why we go. That's why we do what we do. Trying to make some kind of difference in these countries that we visit. So we'd appreciate your prayer. And like I say, got involved in this. The Lord began to open doors when we finally said we were going to retire from full-time pastoring. The doors began to open in this missions thing to where I finally said, Lord, I don't understand. When I was young, I volunteered for every mission field in the world, and you said no. Now I'm old, and I've got, 8 or 9 years left, and you're opening doors. God spoke to me, and he said, you once told me you'd go wherever I wanted you to go. Do you want to take that back now? I said, no, Lord, I don't want to take it back. So as long as my health will allow me, and as long as my good wife will stand by my side, we're going to just continue to do the work of the Lord wherever he opens the door. So when I say we would appreciate your prayer, we would definitely appreciate your prayer. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Psalm 68. Now, in most churches, we're just about at our conclusion now. But I'm good with, matching the preliminaries. I want to talk about the supernatural power of God. I haven't come here today to tell you anything new. I'm reminded of the song, words of an old hymn that we used to sing a lot. And in it was this line, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. So I haven't come to tell you anything new. I've come to tell you the same old thing that you have heard over and over and over again. But what I have done is I have asked God, by a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost, to take His Word and make it new in our hearts today. Speak it into our hearts by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I heard it said some years ago, too much of the Spirit and you'll blow up. Too much of the Word and you'll dry up. But a combination of both and you'll grow up. And I believe that. Amen? I just believe that. Now, before I read our text, let me give you a little summary of where I want to take us today. We're Pentecostals. Well, he is and she is. This is a Pentecostal church, right? Okay, all right. All right, I just wanted to check that out. I am certain that I can speak for all of us when I say that we all desire a supernatural move of God. A move of God with an abundance of people being saved. Divine healings. Miracles. Supernatural signs and other spiritual gifts experienced in our meetings and in our personal lives. Amen? Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of his book and in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I want you to listen to how this is worded. We don't want to read. Sometimes, you know, we come to verses in the Bible and we just kind of read them, but I want you to hear it. I want you to hear what's being said here. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Then in verse 8 he says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Now this is what I wanted you to get out of this. I saw the Lord. I heard His voice. I said, here am I, send me. You see the involvement? I want to challenge everyone here who truly wants to see a Pentecostal move of God to purpose in this service today. I know we've got potluck downstairs. That's why I came. No. Get in the game. Church, get in the game. Not just in the arena. Get in the game. Press in today for revelation of God's heart in your ministry, in your life. Early Pentecostals often cited three factors in support of spiritual manifestations. One, their biblical foundation. Two, their spiritual nature. And three, the positive spiritual benefit that resulted from the experience. A man by the name of D.W. Kerr, an early Pentecostal educator, a little different than some of our educators in some of our colleges today, but this man said, a signless gospel is a spineless gospel. A signless gospel is a spineless gospel. When I read that, it's been going over and over and over in my mind, and I found myself praying differently. Pastor, I have found myself praying more than I have ever prayed in my entire ministry. God, let your anointing rest upon my ministry and let it be followed by signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. In the book of Acts, 5,000 people were saved when a lame man was healed. Amen? What is going to happen in your life and in your community if through your ministry some miracle takes place? Oh, you're looking at me like, where's this guy going with this? Hang on. Now, I realize this is Memorial Day weekend, and I salute all of the warriors who gave their lives for our freedom. But I especially remember today the warriors of the cross who gave so much that I might know the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for my Pentecostal heritage. I say that because I was raised in the home of an alcoholic. But in my community, there was a Church of God at the forks of the road. Old Brother Rogers used to preach there. Brother Rogers was one of those preachers, pastors, that spit all over the first three rows. They played tambourines. They shouted. They had Jericho marches. People danced in the Spirit. Now, as a boy not knowing anything about church, I thought they were nuts. I used to sit right back there outside the wall by the window that was there and blow cigarette smoke inside. I was raised in the home of an alcoholic. I did the things that kids who were raised in the home of an alcoholic do. But I learned something about church. And when it came time for me to give my life to Christ, I knew what I wanted to be. If I wasn't Pentecostal today, you know what I would be? I'd be ashamed. And it's because of those early experiences. Amen. Amen. Now, in this messed up age of ours, and we're living in a messed up age, take a look what is going on in our politics right now. It's a mess. To say we're living in a messed up age is almost an understatement. But I've come today to remind you that the best hope for mankind, plagued by tyranny and plagued by deprivation of all kinds, is not more government. I say that because I truly believe that a nation is no stronger than its people. And that means you and I. A nation is no stronger than its people. That's you and I. I don't like what's going on in America right now. I love America, don't get me wrong. I travel all over the world, and I'm always glad to get back to America. I love America. But it's messed up. Needs some help. So, I come to challenge you today, Lord, make this your prayer, folks. Lord, I want to see you. I do. Thank God for a pastor who knows how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. You're not going to impact your community because he knows how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I feel a preach coming on. Lord, I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to be used of you. I do. In 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I'm here to tell you that if we're to see a move of God in this generation, instead of a move of man, then we need genuine, anointed Holy Ghost ministry. Our best abilities and our best gifts may impress for a season, but if that's all we've got, it just doesn't last. On the other hand, God's supernatural ability, His power is always impressive and it always lasts. Touches men's lives, changes them into the image of His divine Son. That's why you and I should hunger and thirst and eagerly desire spiritual gifts and signs following. Amen? Now, I haven't come here to question your salvation. I'm glad that you're a member of the church. I'm glad that 100% of you are paying your tithe. Oh, now I'm messing, huh? Let me read the text. I haven't got to it yet. Psalm 68, verse 34, 35. Ascribe strength to God. His experience, His excellence, is over Israel. And His strength is in the clouds. O God, You are more awesome than Your holy places. Now listen. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to His people. Amen. The God you serve, the God who saved you, is the same God who will give you the power to do those things that He has commanded us to do. Amen. My desire today is to proclaim to our world the supernatural power of God. Many of our young men and women preparing for ministry today don't have a clue of what I'm even talking about today. They've never seen it. They've never experienced it. Many of our churches, maybe they experienced it 35 years ago or 40 years ago. But in some of them, they've ruled it out today. Well, they know the doctrine. They even talk the talk. And therein lies the problem. At the risk of sounding negative this morning, I declare that we Americans are nearly talked to death about religion. There's never been a better educated generation of Christians than there is today. We know more about how to get from point A to point B than any other generation that ever lived. We're bombarded by Christian talk shows and never-ending media ads, and our church leaders are educated, and they're great orators. By the way, if you're trying to take notes on this, have fun. I believe to the marrow of my bones that if our generation is to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll only happen through a gospel confirmed by the supernatural power of Almighty God. Amen? Come on. There is power in His proclaimed word. Our text says God gives power and strength to His people. Now, you'll recall that most of Jerusalem rejected Jesus and then killed Him. And then came Pentecost. I love Pentecost. I love being Pentecostal. It came Pentecost, and 3,000 of those same people that had rejected Him and had a part in consenting to His death, if not even a hand in bringing it about, were converted. 3,000 of them got saved. Nothing impossible to God. Nothing. Now, church, you can say you want revival. You can say you want a move of God. And I can say, great. Then don't ever stop proclaiming the all-powerful Word of God, no matter what our world might say about it. I don't have to defend the Word of God. I just need to use it. The devil would love to get us caught up in defending the Word of God. Don't go down that road. Just don't go down that road. Don't defend it. Certainly the devil's going to attack it. Certainly when you start witnessing to people, they're going to attack the Word of God. Just keep using the Word. You'll make them mad or glad, one or the other. Now, what I'm talking about this morning doesn't come about by wishful thinking. It comes as a result of God's people receiving God's Word and being filled with the Holy Ghost. I got one up here in the front. Thank you, my brother. I'm going to wait for the rest of you to catch up. Here's the truth we need to cling to and pray into our beings. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. my message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. I fear American Christianity has too much wise and persuasive words and too little of a demonstration of power. Amen? Pulpits in thousands of our churches are filled with pastors with PhDs and THDs, but no supernatural anointing. I have had through the years many young pastors tell me they were they either wanted to work on or were working on getting their doctorate degree, and I commend them for that. The thing that bothers me about it is that through all of the years of ministry and through all of the young pastors that I've had a chance to influence and mentor, I've never yet had one of them come to me and say, "You know, Pastor, I will never be satisfied until my preaching is confirmed with the supernatural power of God." Amen? Never. Churches and entire denominations are shriveling up. They have cohorts for their pastors and other church leaders, and they have leadership conventions and conferences and great homiletical presentations, but no power of God. Therefore, people's faith rests not in the supernatural power of God's Word and His mighty works, but in the eloquence of the preacher. I don't know how you feel about it, but I say that's a tragedy. Hear me clearly, church. 1 Corinthians 4:20 plainly states, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Amen? Now, I've already stated it once, but let me say it again. The American people are talked to death. We need to see God's power. Amen? Thank God for a church service where we can come and just worship and worship and sing and follow the leading of the Lord. That's great. But out there, next door to you, across the street, they need to see the power of God. Amen? They need to see divine healings. They need to experience God's supernatural power just as the early church did. Our gospel, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 reads, "Came to you not simply with words, but also with power." Don't tell me about it. Show me. I'm from Missouri. Pastoring in Ketchikan, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. Doctor said she didn't have long to live. That was 36, 37 years ago. I don't know how long that is. On the Marshall Islands, doing a prayer line for the Marshallese people there on the island of Madro. They didn't speak English, and I didn't speak Marshallese. We had church. We had high church. I gave an altar call. I didn't realize the custom there, but everybody on the island wanted to be prayed for. I looked down there and all I saw was people. I realized I'm going to be here till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning praying. I told the interpreter, "Well, just have the people come and tell you what the need is and the team and I will pray." So we're praying, generic prayer. After a while, this elderly lady came through. We laid hands on her and we prayed. "Oh God, whatever the need, you know the need, meet her need," you know, generic prayer. About the time the Marshallese began to whistle, they whistle where we clap. They began to whistle. They were jubileeing. They got plumb excited. We're standing there, "Okay, this is good." Finally got the interpreter's attention and said, what happened? "Oh, she was blind, but now she can see." So then we jubileed. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a little girl in Argentina so debilitated by emphysema that she couldn't walk unassisted. They came over and got me. I was on one side of the building praying for the sick. They come and got me and took me to the other side, and I laid hands on that little girl with our team, and we prayed for her. She was slain in the spirit. Just a young girl. She was probably 6 years old. That little girl got up. She ran all over that building. That church shouted. That little girl ran around, and she came and ran over to me and threw herself in my arms. Gave me a kiss on the cheek. Let me give you one more testimony. And I really give this testimony for Wayne and Laura's sake. They know about this. While in Ketchikan, the youth from our church took the ferry and they went up to Gustavus to a youth camp. We had a lady from our church that was acting as a chaperone going with the kids, Bonnie. And all of the kids loved Bonnie. On the way to the youth camp, my son shared a can of Pepsi with Bonnie. And while they were at youth camp, the kids began to get sick. They had an outbreak of hepatitis in southeast Alaska like nothing they'd ever seen before. The kids came home. One by one, they began to recover. They got well, all except my son. My son got sicker and sicker and sicker. They finally flew him to Anchorage, Alaska. My wife went with him. I stayed with the church and with my other kids. Doctor called me. He said, "Pastor Burnett, we do not know what your son has. All we know is that he's dying." Those were hard days. Those were hard hours. Bonnie died. She was a carrier of hepatitis. She didn't know it. I was praying for my son. They sent his test to the 9 major disease centers across the United States. One by one, they began to come back, and they were all coming back negative. They had one more test to come back, and I believe it was in Houston where it was coming from. I was praying at the couch in our living room. The phone rang, and one of my deacons was on the phone. And he said, "Pastor, it's been a long time since I've had an experience like this, but I'm just going to tell you, I was praying for your son. And God told me that David, they were not going to find out what's wrong with him, but from this point on, he's going to recover." And I thanked him, and we prayed together. I went back to the couch, and I knelt down, and hardly got knelt down to pray when the phone rang again, and it was my wife calling. She said, "Something very unusual happened a few minutes ago. They were keeping my son alive with IVs. He couldn't eat. He couldn't hold anything down." She said, "Dr. McMahon came in and said, 'David, your test came back and it was negative. We've missed something. We got to do the test again.'" David looked at him and he said, "No. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm going home." The doctor looked at my wife for support. Nadine said, "If he wants to go home, I'm taking him home." Now, if you know anything about the liver, David had his liver enzymes were over 1,500. 300 will kill the average adult male. They couldn't figure out why his liver hadn't exploded. The doctor said, "If you take him home, you've got to take him right to the hospital at Ketchikan, get his liver checked and all that." So we did what the doctor ordered. David is over 50 years old now. Not too long ago, and this is the part that Wayne and Laura haven't heard. Not too long ago, he had to have a physical with his job. And he filled out the doctor's papers and told him that he had had hepatitis. They run all these tests. The doctor came back and he said, you've never had hepatitis." And David said, "I almost died from hepatitis." His liver was completely normal. Amen. Amen. I declare to you this morning that my faith stands in a gospel that comes from the holy word of God, but also from the manifested power of God that I have seen and experienced with my own eyes. Amen? By the way, that deacon is a member of your church and a very dear friend. Now see, folks, that's the New Testament pattern. To hear and see the gospel. I think today, most of us, we're content with just saying, I know the Word of God and I'll tell whoever I can about the Word of God. Listen, they need to hear it. They need to see it. Thank you, sir. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and I'm just about through. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how after that anointing with supernatural power, he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. After that anointing. After that anointing. In obedience to the Great Commission, the disciples went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen? That's my challenge this morning to the church. That's my challenge. Now I want to bring this to a conclusion this way. We're going to pray. We are Pentecostals. We love the moving of God. But let me tell you something. If God doesn't move you, then maybe it's time you move God. Amen? Maybe it is in your life, like that dear deacon. Pastor, it's been a long time since I've had something like this happen in my life. But he started praying. He started waiting on God. And it happened. Church, listen to me. God didn't love that deacon any more than he loves you. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love Pastor Arnsmeyer is what I was trying to say. That's the word I was looking for. Pastor, listen. We need in our lives that move of God. And if it's been a while, you know everything that I've told you this morning. You've heard it all before. But like that deacon, maybe it's time to go back to that place of prayer and say, God, would you do it again in my life? I believe everything that preacher said today. I've always believed it, Lord. I've believed it for 40 years. God, I want to see it happen in my life. Because my family needs to see it. My neighbors need to see it. My community needs to see it. The United States of America needs to see it. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray the words of our text today, Psalm 68:28. Summon your power, O God, and show us your strength. As you have done before, do it in our lives. O God, I pray for this congregation. God, pour out of your Spirit today. Let a fresh anointing rest upon every man and woman in this place. Let a burning desire fill us, O God, until we say, God, don't leave us the way we came in here. Send us out of this house a different way, filled with the power of God, and let us take this community for Jesus Christ. O God, pour out a mighty anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. We ask it and we believe it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.